जय राधा माधव कुंज जय राधा माधव कुंज
Yeah. reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, verse number 14.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yadva Chitantyam Gunakarma Dhamabhihi. Sudushtarai vatsavayam suyojitah. Sudushtarai vatsavayam suyojitah. Sarve mahamo balimishvaraya. Padhe chatushpadah. Yadva chitantyam gunakarma dhamabhihi. Sutushtarai vatsavan vayam suyojitah. Sarve vahamo balimeshvaraya.
Sarve vahamo balimeshvaraya.
Prota nasiva dvipade chatushpadah.
Prota nasiva dvipade chatushpadah.
Yadva chitantyam gunakarma dhamabhihi.
Yadva chitantyam gunakarma dhamabhihi.
Sudushtarai vatsavayam suyojitah. Sarve vahamo balimishvaraya.
Sarve vahamo balimishvaraya.
Prota nasiva dvipade chatushpadah. Yadva chitantyam gunakarma dhamabhihi. Sudushtarai vatsavayam suyojitah. Sarve vahamo balimishvaraya. Padhe chatushpadah.
Word to word translation. Yet of, yeah. Of whom?
Of whom?
Vachi.
Vachi.
In the form of Vedic instructions.
In the form of Vedic instructions.
Tantyam. To a long rope.
Guna.
Of quality.
Karma.
And work. Dhamabhihi, by the ropes, sudushtaraihi, very difficult to avoid. Vatsa,
my dear boy,
vayam, we,
suyojitaha,
are engaged, sarve, all, vahamaha, carry out. Balim, orders to please him. Ishvaraya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protaha, being bound. Nasi, in the nose. Iva, like. Dvipade, to the two-legged driver. Chatuhpadaha, the four-legged boots. translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear boy, all of us are bound by the Vedic injunctions to the divisions of Varnashrama according to our qualities and work. These divisions are difficult to avoid because they are scientifically arranged. We must therefore carry out our duties of Varnashrama Dharma like bulls obliged to move according to the direction of the driver, pulling on ropes knotted to their noses. Purport. In this verse, the words Tantyam Gunakarma Dhamabhihi is very important. We each get a body according to our association with the gunas, the qualities or modes of material nature, and we act accordingly. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the four orders of the social system, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, are arranged according to the guna and karma, their qualities and work. There is some controversy about this. However, because some say that since one receives a body according to the guna and karma of his past life, it is one's birth that determines his social status. Others say, however, that one's birth according to the guna and karma of his past life is not the essential consideration, since one can change his guna and karma even in this life. Thus, they say that the four divisions of the social order, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, should be arranged according to the guna and karma of this life. This version is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Narada Muni. While instructing Maharaja Yudhishthira about the symptoms of guna and karma, Narada Muni said that these symptoms must govern the division of the society. In other words, if a person born in the family of a Brahmana has the symptoms of a Shudra, he should be designated as a Shudra. Similarly, if a Shudra has Brahmanical qualities, he should be designated as a Brahmana. The Varnashrama system is scientific. Therefore, we accept the divisions of Varna and Ashrama according to the Vedic instructions, and our lives will be successful. Unless human society is thus divided and arranged, it cannot be perfect. As stated in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnashramachara Vrata Vata Purushena Parahpuman Vishnuraradhyate Pantha Nanyat Tattosha Karanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Vishnu is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashramas. All of human society is meant to worship Lord Vishnu. At the present moment, however, human society does not know that this is the ultimate goal of perfection of life. Therefore, instead of worshipping Lord Vishnu, people have been educated to worship matter. According to the direction of modern society, men think they can advance in civilization by manipulating matter to build skyscrapers, big roads, automobiles and so on. Such a civilization must certainly be called materialistic because the people do not know the goal of life. The goal of life is to reach Vishnu. But instead of reaching Vishnu, people are bewildered by the external manifestation of the material energy. Therefore, progress in material advancement is blind, and the leaders of such material advancement are also blind. They are leading their followers in the wrong way. It is best, therefore, to accept the injunctions of the Vedas which are mentioned in this verse as Yadvachi. In accordance with those injunctions, everyone should find out whether he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra and should thus be educated accordingly. Then his life will be successful. Otherwise, all of human society will be confused. If human society is divided scientifically according to Varna and Ashrama, and if the Vedic directions are followed, one's life, regardless of his position, will be successful. It is not that Brahmanas will be elevated to the transcendental platform, but not the Shudras. If the Vedic injunctions are followed, all of them, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, will be elevated to the transcendental platform and their lives will be successful. The injunctions of the Vedas are explicit directions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example cited in this verse is that bulls tied by the ropes in their nostrils move according to the direction of the driver. Similarly, if we move according to the instructions of the Vedas, the perfect paths of our lives will be set. Otherwise, if we do not move in that way, but act accordingly to our own whimsical ideas, our lives will be spoiled by confusion and will end in despair. Actually, because people at the present moment are not following the instructions of the Vedas, they are all confused. We must therefore accept this instruction by Lord Brahma to Priyavrata as the factual scientific direction leading to the success of life. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 16.23. Yah shastra vidhim ustrijya vartate kama karatah nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukham na paramgatim. If we do not live according to the injunctions of the Shastras, the Vedas, we shall never achieve success in life, to say nothing of happiness or elevation to the higher status of living. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadahmahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Hare Krishna. Read the translation again. My dear boy, all of us are bound by the Vedic injunctions to the divisions of Varnashrama according to our qualities and work. These divisions are difficult to avoid because they are scientifically arranged. We must therefore carry out our duties of Varnashrama Dharma, like the bulls obliged to move according to the direction of a driver, pulling on ropes knotted to their noses. So now we are seeing that Priyavrata is sitting on the Gandha Madana hill, and the various personalities who have come to instruct King Priyavrata. There are a lot of lessons to take out from these from this conversation. Actually, this is the scriptures give us. This is one of the lessons that scriptures give us time and again, that as jivas, most of us are confused what our duties are and what our duties are not. We also see the same confusion that Arjuna had, and the Lord had to speak out the Bhagavad Gita in the middle of the battlefield. So here also we see that Priyavrata at this moment is a bit confused, because he's been induced by his spiritual master Narada Muni to execute devotional service. But now everybody is asking him to take up kingly duties. Now he's confused whether, if by taking material duties, his devotion will be hampered. So that is the circumstance we are in. And in this circumstance, Lord Brahma is trying to preach to King Priyavrata. So the two lessons is, one must have a spiritual guide who can guide us. Prabhupada writes in the purport that one must know if he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. And how do we know this? We will come to know with the blessings of our spiritual master. So here we see Lord Brahma, who is one of the most, one of the topmost jiva or the living entities in this material creation, is actually instructing King Priyavrata to take up his material duties. And so that is one of the lessons we learn. And the second lesson we learn is the disciple also should be eligible and capable of taking those instructions. He must have the humility to accept these instructions from his spiritual master, and also have the intelligence to apply these instructions practically with diligence. So these are the two lessons that come very apparent in this discussion. And this is happening amidst glorious personalities. So he has a spiritual master, Narada Muni there. He has Lord Brahma, and he has Lord Shiva. And we see Lord Brahma is addressing him as Vatsa. Sudushturai Vatsa. Vatsa is a... my dear boy, Prabhupada writes, because in one sense he's his grandson. So, a grandfather inspecting a grandson. Now, we also had discussed a few months ago that Srimad Bhagavatam consists of 10 topics generally. In any Purana, there is that in the Padma Purana, it is said that every Purana ideally should cover these 10 topics. Only then it is a complete Purana. And we had discussed that there are only two Puranas which cover these 10 topics incomplete. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam and Vishnu Purana. And in fact, Bhagavatam is one step ahead, because it also defines who is that ashray. Sukadeva Goswami actually tells this in the second canto. As atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantareshanu katha nirodho muktirashraya. So we had said that atra sarga visarga sthanam poshanam utayah. Now here in the fourth canto we studied, what was the canto four about? The creation of the fourth order. So this was all about the creation, the secondary creation. And now it is about utaya, impetus. So that's why this canto is, what is the canto called as? The impetus for the creative impetus. The fifth canto is called as creative impetus. So that is utaya. And here, Priyavrata is receiving instructions, and now he is being asked to take up Kshatriya duty. So it's impetus for creation. So you should start creating. So at this juncture, he's getting these instructions from the foremost or the highest among all the jivas, which is Lord Brahma. So from this we can understand that ruling and taking care of this material universe is not a child's play. So much thought has been given in the scriptures that a person who is supposed to rule this world or this universe, first of all, should be a rishi. He has to be a saint. and then he can become a Raja. That's why it is, the term called Raja Rishi is being coined in the 4th chapter. Krishna uses this. Imam Rajarshayo Viduhu. So that's why we see Priyavrata is actually a saint, but he wants to take up complete sainthood. He doesn't want to take up material duties. And this is one of the attractions of devotional service, that in one sense we are not interested in material activities. But taking up material activities is important. Why? Why is it important? For the welfare of the others. And what a way to please the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord himself facilitates this material creation for all of us. Lord Brahma, who is one of the dearmost to the Lord, actually takes up this responsibility to liberate all of this by creating this material universe, so that the jivas get an opportunity to get into liberation. So this type of service pleases the Lord. So I remember in one of the classes we had here, in it was in Middle Park School, I remember a few years ago, His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu was giving a lecture, and we had a one-on-one session. And it was all about Lord Brahma's instructions. And one of the devotees said, how wonderful it will be to become Lord Brahma and serve the Lord in that way. And Bhurijan Prabhu said, actually, sorry, you are in queue. I've already applied for that post. So you've got to wait, probably for another universe. So it is actually the mood of a devotee to liberate the entire universe. This is what Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada did not sit in Vrindavan and continue to meditate, but he went to the West to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness in people. And this is what Lord Brahma is trying to instigate. And then you will see further in the canto as it unveils that the instruction is not just to become a king, but to set an example and guide the population towards liberation. That is why this is being said here. And Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, Tantyam guna karma dhamabhi. This is very important, because Prabhupada writes, each of us get a body according to our association with the gunas, or the three modes of material nature. Yeah. This is a wonderful science that Krishna has created. The entire material cosmos is such a complex atmosphere that Krishna has created. It is a very deep science. And one needs to understand. Generally, if you see, if someone wants to become a doctor, a professor, or an engineer, they have to go to a university, they have to educate themselves, there is an examination, and only then one can be called as a doctor or a professor or a teacher or an engineer. Only in case of spirituality, people think none of this is important. Generally, it is given a picture, you know, we see big posters. If somebody is sitting in Padmasana and taking a deep breath, they think they are spiritual. But that's not the meaning of spirituality. Generally, we misconstrue that if somebody is sitting like this and taking a deep breath, they are very spiritual. It's not. Generally, the picture is shown like that. Because there are a lot of things going on in the mind. So spirituality is just not that. Spiritual topics and this whole cosmos is a big science, and the Varnashrama system is a big science that Krishna has created for the gradual upliftment of the entire human population, actually. So one needs to understand this setup and the framework that Krishna has set up in this material creation. And that is what Srila Prabhupada tries to say, that one needs to understand this science very, very intelligently and very correctly. And if we see, now if you take the example of a farmer, let's say the farmer has some seeds. So he has the seeds of mango, he has the seeds of tamarind, he has the seeds of some fruits like kiwi and vegetables and banyan trees. He's got a bag of seeds. If this farmer would have had to keep these seeds in a bottle jar for many, many years, do you think he's doing a good job to those seeds from a perspective of the seeds? In one sense, he's preserving the seeds. But there is no use of those seeds sitting in a glass jar if those seeds have not been utilized. If the seeds have not been grown to their fullest potential. So in the same way, and each of these seeds are unique. A mango seed will grow up to become a mango tree and will give what? A beautiful, tasty mango fruit. In the same way, a tamarind seed will grow up to become a huge tamarind tree and give us a beautiful tamarind fruit. I don't know if it's a fruit, it's a pod. I don't know if it's a fruit or a vegetable. But Each of these seeds has a unique quality, and tamarind is as good, as beautiful and as tasty as mango, because there is many, many rasas that this material creation has, and each rasa is unique in its own way. Because someone may think, mango, Prabhu, mango is very tasty, you know, tamarind is very sour. But imagine if somebody is fed mango 24 hours a day, 365 days, he will start, you know, having a disgusting feeling towards mango. I remember a friend who used to work in a factory. This factory used to bottle concentrated mango juice. He worked there for 2 years. I still see him, he hates mangoes. He doesn't like mangoes. Because the taste and the smell of mango actually makes him nauseate because of the affinity that he had with that fruit. So, nava nava rasa mamapanudhyat. So, every rasa, every taste is unique. Krishna has created every seed as unique. So, in the same way, when the farmer has to sow the seed, what should he do in the first place? What does he do? What does the farmer do in the first place? He first sets up a place to sow it. He prepares a farmland nicely and then sows the seed in the soil. And then he allows by pouring water, giving them sunlight, poshan, food, and then the seed will grow and fructify, and then the fruits will come out. That is one way of maturing the seed to its fullest potential. So in the same way, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradah Pita. I am the seed-giving father. So he's like that farmer who has these seeds with him, but he has to allow the seeds to fructify. To do that, he creates this material creation. He's creating this material creation as a farmland and then sows the seeds. And when he sows the seeds, we all get this form of human form of life where we can fructify to our fullest potential. So that is the thing. But the catch is, we also know that every seed is unique. In that we all have an inherent quality called Swabhava. In the second canto, 5th chapter, 14th verse, it is said, Dravyam karma chakalascha swabhavo jiva evacha vasudevat paro bhram brahman na chanyo arthosti tatvatah. So when this material world was created, how did Krishna create this material world? What were the basic ingredients for this? What was that one basic ingredient? It is called as pradhana. And that pradhana is agitated by three ropes. What are those three ropes called as? The modes of material nature. So just with these ingredients, he sets forth the entire material creation. And when he sets forth, there are two things that we have to, in fact, this verse talks about the dravyam. The dravyam is the pradhan, the karma of the jivas, the kala, and the swabhava, the nature of every living entity. Based on this, they get a suitable body. And using that body, that particular seed fructifies. So Krishna creates this material creation, sows the jivas, and puts in a framework of the three modes of material nature along with the framework of the chatush ashram, varanashram. And then says, okay, now I've given you a framework. Just like when you have a climber, we put a boundary around it so that the climber might grow correctly. So this climber is the climber of varanashram. The framework is the framework of varanashram by which the tree or the plant can grow properly to its fullest potential. And what is that potential? That the jivas in every endeavor should try to please the Supreme Lord. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Svanushtithasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Atah pumsa dvijah shreshta. Varnashrama vibhagashaha. Svanushtithasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Haritoshanam. The whole idea of this entire gamut of framework is to please Supreme Lord Hari. So for this is the reason that Krishna creates this framework. So we see even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken about this. Chaturvarnim maya shrishtam. Guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidhya kartaram avyayam. So Krishna is saying, I have created this chaturvarni. This is the most misinterpreted and the most misunderstood verse in the context of the scriptures. When we saw, when there were British historians trying to purposely trying to misconstrue the meanings of this, seeing the caste-based society in India, they were thinking probably this casteism or that was prevalent, and sometimes it's still prevalent in many parts of the country, is actually being derived from this lessons of Bhagavad Gita. But it was not. So this is because of the alpa buddhi, or because of the alpa medhasa, or very little intelligence or no intelligence, or the ignorant people try to misconstrue the words of Krishna like this. Because Prabhupada says varnashrama is very, very scientific. It's very scientific. So it is saying that it is not based on janma and karma, but based on guna and karma. What does that mean? If somebody is a son of a brahmana, he is called as a son of a brahmana, but he is not called as a brahmana until unless he demonstrates the quality of a brahmana and takes up the duties of a brahmana. In fact, this verse is misinterpreted in the Vedic society as well, or sometimes it's still being practiced as casteism. And this was prevalent even in the past. If you see in Mahabharata, we studied in the 4th canto, 31st chapter, 25th, I remember doing that verse, I don't remember the verse now, that verse, Maitreya Rishi tells to whom? Vidura. The word Vedavyasa uses to address Vidura is Kshattaha. Kshattaha. He uses the word Kshattaha. The literal meaning of Kshattaha, who was the son, who was Vidura the son of? Very nice. You remember that is the son of Vyasadeva. But predominantly during his time, the Kauravas addressed him as Kshattaha. Kshattaha means the son of a maid servant. Kshattaha, because he was the son of a maid servant. Although he was the glorious son of Vedavyasa. But the Kauravas always decried him. Although he was the most intelligent and the learned and the devotee of the Lord, in fact, he was even superior to, in one sense, superior to Bhishma Deva. Because he did not agree to fight on behalf of the Kauravas nor the Pandavas, so he went to a pilgrimage. He did not participate in the war because he was not supportive of the Kauravas, especially the side of Duryodhana. So we see that it is prevalent that he was addressed as the son of a maid servant, Kshattaha, and he was addressed as Kshattaha. Although his name was Vidura, the Kauravas, the Duryodhana and party did not respect him even one day as the son of glorious Vedavyasa. His name Vidura stands for Vidvatrataha iti Vidura. Vidvatrataha, one who sits on the chariot of Vidvat, or intelligence, or devotion. He is Vidura, but not one day they addressed him like that. Not one day they addressed him as his uncle, as their uncle. They addressed him as the son of maid servant, although he was their own uncle. He was the half-brother of Pandu and Dhritarashtra. So these incidents in the Mahabharata also indicate the misdemeanor of the society or the demoniac people, how they used to misuse the scriptures in terms of addressing someone based on birth and not by quality and worth. By quality, Vidura was very advanced. In fact, many a times, and why do scriptures repeatedly convey this message? Because there is always a confusion. First confusion is, we do not know what is our duty in the first place. Why? Because gahana karmano bhati, what is my karma, what are my duties, is very difficult to understand sometimes. Second thing is, even if the scriptures explain to us, it is very difficult to understand the scriptures because sometimes we have our own preconceived notions. That is why the scriptures repeatedly tell and depict these stories for us to understand and apply in our lives. So therefore we have a story in the Upanishads like this. How do you identify someone's quality as a Brahmana? How do you know if someone is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya? How do you know that? The Upanishads also depict how do we know, how one can know. So they give us evidences or incidents about how Acharyas used to identify. So we have a story of Satyaki and Jabala Muni. Have you all heard about the Jabala Muni? Jabale means again a maid servant. Jabale means is a maid servant. And Ja abale is one who is dependent, parishrami, or a maid servant. And her son, there was a maid servant whose son was Satyaki. Now this maid servant's son, who was just a 9-year-old boy, or usually, you know, in olden days, when I speak about the story, if it's a maid servant's son, generally they did not know who the father was, because the maid servant works in the kingdom, and sometimes she has to please the king or the counselors, and generally they don't know. They don't know who the son's father is. So incidentally, they were saying, okay, he is a son of the maid servant. We do not know who his father is. So the son will adopt the varna of the mother. So in this son, in this case, the son of Jabale was Satyaki, and Satyaki was called as the maid, son of maid servant again. But he had a great interest to study the scriptures. So Jabale says, well, we have the Haridra Muni's ashram next door. You go and ask him if he is happy to teach you, but we are probably not allowed to study because we come from a caste of maid servants. So you should go and ask him. So Satyaki goes and approaches this guru, and the guru says, okay, my dear son, which caste do you belong to, or which varna do you belong to? He asks. And the son says, I don't know. All I know is that I'm the son of Jabale. So first of all, he says, no, I need to know your father. So go and find out who your father is, so that I can adjourn your caste or varna, and then I can give you the education. Now, why is Haridra Rishi asking this?
To test him.
Yes, also to understand whether this son also has that genetic makeup so that he can understand the Shastra. So there were three. So we have to understand that the Jivas have three makeups. What is that? One is the inherent makeup, the quality as a Jiva. The second is the genetic makeup. One is called as the Swabhava. One is called as the inherent nature, and the influential nature, and the genetic. So one is inherent, one is genetic, one is social. So we have three. One is Swabhava, the other two are Prabhava. Prabhava means what? One is born in a given family, he gets the body based on his parents. One is very strong because his parents are strong, because his body is coming from that parent. So one has a genetic makeup like that. The third is the influence of the society, in what circumstance and the social gathering is brought up. So generally, Jiva is covered with these three situations. What is that? The Swabhava, the inherent nature, the genetic nature, and the social makeup with which he is brought up. All these are externals. But at least the Swabhava has to be understood so that the education can be provided accordingly. So in that sense, the Haridra Rishi tells him, I need to know who your father is, so I could understand your genetic makeup. Then I can award you education accordingly. So he goes and asks to his mother, my dear mother, who is my father? The guru is asking me. Jabale says, I don't know who your father is. All I know is you are Jabale's son. Go and tell the Rishi that you are Jabale's son, the maid servant's son. So the 9-year-old boy comes back and tells the Rishi, I do not know who my father is. My mother says, she doesn't know who my father is. All I know is that I am the son of Jabale, maid servant. So my dear guru, I am the son of the maid servant. Am I eligible to take the education? At that point, Haridra Rishi says, you are very much capable to take the education. You know why? He says, you are a Brahmana. Why is that? Because he speaks the truth. Satyam, Shama, Dama, Saucham, Tapa, Shantir, Arjavam. These are the qualities of a Brahmana. And the Rishi or the Muni or the Guru is able to adjourn based on the quality of the boy, that he has the undaunting nature to speak the truth boldly, despite that he might be rejected. This is the nature of a Brahmana. He is not afraid of an external circumstance to speak the truth. So, time and again, the Upanishads also give us these incidences so that we can understand that Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, the Varnashrama is based as a class-based society based on the nature, the inherent nature of the Jiva, and the karma or the activities that we do. Why is this important? Because Swabhava is very deep-rooted. It's very deep-rooted. It is just not coming out from one life. what my swabhava was there in my many, many lives can actually follow in this life as well, because it's very, it has deep imprints on the mind and the psychophysical nature. The Shastras confirm that this swabhava is so strong that even if one falls down to an animal form of life, that swabhava might bear an impact. Whose story we remember? We remember the story of Jadabharata. He fell down to the body of a deer. But even in that body, because his swabhava was sattvic and brahminical, he could remember his past births. So this story also depicts that this swabhava is very deep rooted. And that is what in Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that when Yudhishthir Maharaj was preached to by Narada Muni, he tells in the 7th canto, 11th chapter and 35th verse, this is the verse that actually Prabhupada mentions, Yasya yal lakshanam proktam pumso varnabhi vyanjakam yat anyatra pidrishyeta tattena iva vinirdishyeta. What does Narada Muni say? He says, if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra as described above, Yasya yal lakshanam. You have to understand through the lakshana. What is lakshana? Lakshana means the symptoms, the manifestation of the symptoms. Even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms that he is exhibiting consistently. One might act as a Brahmana, but one might not generally inherently be as a Brahmana. So if his natural lakshana is that of a Brahmana, even though if he is born as a Shudra, he must be respected as a Brahmana. That is what Narada Muni is trying to instruct. If we see, Prabhupada applied this and demonstrated this in ISKCON. We see our glorious spiritual masters, they don't come from a Brahminical background, so-called Indian classical Brahminical background. But Prabhupada did not see that it is not by birth. Our glorious spiritual masters portray or have those lakshanam of great Vaishnavas and great Brahmanas, although even people who are so-called Brahmanas do not display even an iota of these Brahminical qualities. So this is what Prabhupada tried to teach us, and he is practically applied these instructions of the Shastras in his ISKCON, in our society, based on the psychophysical. That's why Prabhupada showed us that these classifications is not just based on birth, but it is based on the psychophysical nature of the jiva. Now, in the verse, Lord Brahma also speaks about the four legs of a bull. These four legs actually form the four legs of the society, the four varnas. And the bull is usually compared to what? The bull is compared to dharma. So if these four legs, the chatur varna and ashrama are strong enough, then the dharma, the bull, which is the dharma, can walk in a proper direction, guided by the scriptures. Otherwise the bull becomes apahij, or in one sense, broken leg. So these four legs actually contribute to the society of dharma and following in the instructions of the Vedas. In fact, if we see Purusha Sukta from the Rig Veda, now if you see even in the second canto, it is said, Brahmano asya mukhamasid bahu rajanyakritaha uru tada asya yadvaishyaha padbhyagam shudro ajayata. This is the verse which says that Brahmanas came from the mouth or the face of Brahma, the Kshatriyas came from the shoulders, Vaishyas from the waist of the Lord, and the Shudras from the legs. So generally when you say, we have a friend living in the Netherlands, we are trying to preach to him. Apparently he's been distressed because he's come through a very difficult upbringing, because he's been exposed to the caste-based society in India. So we've been trying to tell him, and when he sees these verses, he gets angry. So, oh, there you are saying the Shudras are coming from the legs of the Lord. So you are telling us that the Shudras are lower. This is a very constricted understanding of this verse. Because sometimes, as we said, we always read scriptures based on what is our misconception alone. But what are the scriptures trying to tell us, we are not sure. So that is why we need a spiritual master to reveal these scriptures to us. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean that one is lower or one is higher. the right way of understanding, the correct way of understanding Shudra. What does Shudra mean? Shudra means Shuchah Dravanam. Shuchah Dravanam means, Shuchah Dravanam means one who is compassionate for the pains for others. He is very compassionate for others. That is what is meant by Shudra. Shuchah Dravanam iti Shudra. Now this quality, in fact if you see the Upanishads again, Raikva, where is a Raikva Muni, he calls the king Janashruti a Shudra. The king Janashruti is called as Shudra. Now suddenly one may think, why is Raikva Muni calling the king as Shudra? Shudra means Shuchadravanam. Because the king is compassionate for others' pains, pain, he is thinking their pains as to be his own, he is Shudra. That is what it means. So what does it mean? That means if someone has this quality of compassion, he is Shudra. What does that mean? Shudra is a quality, and that quality permeates all the four Varnas. If a Vaishya is not a Shudra, first he cannot be a Vaishya. If a Brahmana is not a Shudra first, he cannot be a Brahmana. If a Kshatriya is not a Shudra first, if he does not demonstrate the quality of a Shuchadravanam, he cannot be a Kshatriya. So this is the meaning of the Shudras coming from the legs, because the Vaishyas are compared to the waist, the Kshatriyas are compared to the shoulders, and the Brahmanas are compared to the head. But what is the use of all of this if there is no legs? If there are no legs, can these three parts stand in one place? It can't. So the legs are the foundation. The quality of Shudra, Shuchadravanam, is the foundation for all the three Varnas. So Vaishya should have Shuchadravanam. He should be primarily a Shudra, plus he should have additional qualities. So this is the understanding of Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra and Kshatriya. And this is the proper understanding one must see. And in a society, one must have all these three. What is this three? To plan, to protect, to produce and to execute. The Brahmanas are there to plan. The Kshatriyas are there to protect and administrate. Protection. So it's plan, protection, production and execution. So all these are important for any outcome to come out in a society. And this is the framework Krishna has established so beautifully and so scientifically. Krishna, Prabhupada says that this is very scientific. In fact, Vishnu Purana goes to such an extent to say there is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Lord apart from Varnashrama Dharma. What does it mean? That is, one may say, oh Prabhuji, this system is not there in the Western world. How do they worship Lord Vishnu? How do you say that Varnashrama is applicable to the entire human society? But we see, even in anywhere where their Vedic practice is not practiced, we still have an administration department, we have a teaching department, we have a business department, and we have a workers department. So we have departments like this. So unknowingly, everybody is classified according to it. But the only problem is, Prabhupada highlights that Varnashrama, when Varnashrama is indicating that the goal should be Haritoshanam, without Varnashrama's goal, it will be worshipping matter. So that is what the Vedic injunctions try to tell us actually. If you see, the entire societal framework was designed, this Varnashrama is designed for a gradual upliftment of human civilization, keeping Krishna in the center. Vishnu Maraditam Param. That should be the goal. Everybody should grow and work, but their work should be there to please the Supreme Lord. That is what the great Acharya said. Kuru bhumshvacha karma nijam niyatam haripada vinamra dhiya satatam harireva paro harireva guro harireva jagat pitra matragatihi kuru bhumshvacha karma nijam niyatam. Everybody should do their prescribed duties, but how? How? Kuru bhumshvacha karma nijam niyatam. Niyata karma should be done. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Haripada vinamra dhiya satatam. One should do their prescribed duties. How? Haripada vinamra. With vinamra bhavana towards the Lord. Haripada. To please the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Haripada vinamra dhiya satatam. Dhiya satatam. Always. Every time when I am doing this prescribed duty, I have to say, is this pleasing the Supreme Lord? Because it is meant to please the Supreme Lord. So every endeavor in this material creation should be a spiritual endeavor. That is the whole idea of Varnashrama Dharma. Because one cannot exist without Kriya. As a jiva, we are dynamic in nature, and we jivas cannot exist without doing karma and kriya. We have to move. Even breathing is karma. Even eating is karma. So even so-called jnanis who want to sit and meditate in a mountain, they are still breathing. They will still move. So kriya is there. So one needs to understand what is one's psychophysical nature and engage their 10 senses and the mind accordingly based on their nature. This is the whole gamut of Varnashrama. But in today's civilization, everything is lost, for example. If you see, everything is topsy-turvy. Because the main head of the society who plans everything is blind to the goal of the Shastras, to the goal of the Vedic injunctions. Take the example of agricultural sector, right? Human civilization has been growing vegetables, fruits, grains since time immemorial. But today's vegetables is grown in mass, but they are tasteless. Fruits are tasteless. They are laden with preservatives. Few years ago, we happened to drive along Altona, and there was a guy selling, this was a mango season, so he said $10 a crate of mangoes. So we stopped the car to buy the crate of mangoes, and this guy also tried to sell bananas on his truck. So he was a truck, and he had a moving shop as such. Then he said, these mangoes are organic. Then we thought, okay, there goes. When you say organic, it's expensive. So then he said, have you tasted organic bananas? He said, no. Then he said, you should taste it. Then he said, no, that's okay. The idea was we don't want to spend money for organic bananas. He said, you don't have to pay. I'll give it to you nevertheless. So he gave us two bananas, one for me and one for my wife. And he said, you should taste it. Because he said, once you taste these bananas, you will never eat the other garbage that is sold in the shops again. You will not taste it. I couldn't believe it. And then I said, why are you bragging so much about organic? He says, today's banana. He said, if you go and look at the fields out there, not even butterflies fly on the fields where fruits and vegetables are grown. That is the fruits and vegetables you are eating. Even butterflies and birds don't dare to fly on the fields. Why? Because it's laden with chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides. He said that. And he said, the money that you are saving by buying inorganic production will be spent later on your health. That is the whole gamut of agricultural sector today. In fact, then when he gave me the bananas, I told him, what is so great about this banana? So he said, they are biodynamic bananas. Please do not think I am promoting specific brand of bananas here. But then I researched. There is a family in Queensland who does this farming, and they are one of the pioneers in growing bananas. These are the bananas with those red tipped and the green tips that you see in the markets. These are organic. They are called as biodynamic. They are wax tipped bananas, they say. These bananas are just not grown organically. The entire ecosystem is set in such a way, even the insects, the frog, the earthworms are all working in tandem to produce a specific crop. The moon, the moonshine, everything is that's called biodynamic farming. So when I researched about it, and it's a lot of hard efforts to produce. Even the frogs that are there in the farms are very important. The wasps, I didn't understand, even the wasps, the type of bees, the type of flowers that they grow to augment the growth of these bananas are very important. So Krishna is inducing them to produce certain produce which are very close to how it should have been naturally. But what is happening to today's agriculture? Rampant misuse and exploitation of dhara, of this prakriti, of this bhumi, of this consort of the Supreme Lord. This is the concert of the Supreme Lord, but has been misused and overutilized. I was in an international conference a few years ago, and we had the CIO of a prominent fertilizer company from the New Zealand. So he was presenting. He was saying, for the last 35 years, if you see, when I was a child, I was really amazed by factory farming, you know. Thousands and thousands of acres of land growing wheat. Big machines growing wheat. So this CIO comes from a company which produces fertilizers, synthetic fertilizers for these lands to produce and mass produce. So he said, after 35 years, New Zealand has woken up because they have realized that 95% of New Zealand soil is dead, he said. It will take us another 25 years to rejuvenate the topsoil of this country because it has been overexploited. The rivers are polluted. The underwater waters, underground waters are polluted because of rampant utilization of fertilizers. Why? Because the bounty crop was coming at the cost of our own ill health. So this is why we need to understand the Krishi and Gorakshan are the two primary duties of a Vaishya, has to be done accordingly through the scriptural injunction. And who is the presiding deity for Krishi and Gorakshan? Krishna and Balaram. Krishi is Balaram having the plow in his hand, right? And Gorakshan is Krishna. So these are two symbols or emblems for us to follow in their footsteps. Krishna also depicts that with their weapons. You know? He is a Gwala, he holds a bull horn and takes the cows for herding. And Balaram holds always a plow in his hand, so that we should always respect that land from where we actually get our food. So one needs to understand, in fact, and when the CEO was saying this, I found this is nothing new. Narada Muni already instructed this to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the 7th canto. Narada Muni says, it is common sense, Yudhishthira, that if an agricultural field is cultivated again and again, the power of production decreases and whatever seeds are grown and sown there are lost. Just as drops of ghee on a fire never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will. Similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely. Overindulgence. And this is what we see in the farming sector as well. They want to exploit farming, mining, greed. In fact, when I was in India, I was always repeatedly told, usually if you see in India, there are small plots of land, roughly to the size of an acre or 2 acres, and there are different crops grown in different sizes of the land. I was always said, Indians are having 9, 10 children, and then 10 acres get divided into 1 acre plots because there are 10 children. And then what happens? The production diminishes. Because you have 1 acre plots and each son is growing their own thing, you can't grow one crop properly. That's why production is dwindling in India. That is what the thought that was given to me. But come today, there is a new farming which many countries, there's a whole big revolution called as regenerative organic farming. This is growing in 1 acre patches, different crops, so that the crops are protected and then the soil is rejuvenated. And this is what the tradition has always been doing, which was lost due to the lobbying of mass manufacturers, mass agriculture. So it's all wrong notions and wrong information that has been fed actually. And there's a big revolution coming up. And there are institutions called as regenerative farming where they are trying to bring back the old techniques of regeneration so that we can still preserve that precious food that's important for this humankind. Because what we eat drives our consciousness. So it starts from that place. That's why Vaishyas are an important segment of the society. But what is the current condition? There is no spiritual plan. And there is no spiritual goal as such of this entire society. And that's why Prabhupada writes, Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti, Yaha Shastra Vidhim Ustrija, one who does not follow the injunctions of the scriptures, Nasa Siddhim Na Parambatim. For them, there is no way anyone can be successful. So that is why one must understand that this entire Varnashrama system is actually meant for the upliftment of this human civilization, so that we can actually, while working, we understand that this work is a spiritual endeavor and we can please Krishna while doing this endeavor. And therefore he is inducing King Priyavrata to say, you take up your kingly duties so that while executing your kingly duties, you can please the Lord and thereby yad-yad acharati shrestha. You can set an example that actually by taking up your material duties as well, you can get liberated, as Krishna had mentioned about King Janaka in the Bhagavad Gita. So with this, I stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss for a while.
I have many. sorry, I have 2 sets of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
The first is related to the explanation that you gave about Shudra.
Mm-hmm.
and the compassion as a part of the identity of the sutra. And also is related to the first statement that you said regarding to the Varnashram Dharma link to with the principles of spirituality.
Yeah.
So the four pillars of spirituality. So my question is, if compassion is a feature of a Bin Sudra, what would be the difference between Brahmana and Sudra? Because both of them should even Vaishya Sudra and Brahmana, all of them should practice or be characterized by being compassionate.
Yes.
So what would be the difference then? And if the four principles of spirituality should be embedded also on them, why would be the difference between these levels of caste?
When the Shastra says Shudra is Shucha Dravanam, which is compassion, each Varna should have this predominant quality of compassion. How one expresses that compassion, it depends on the Varna he is under. For example, when someone is compassionate, if someone is having the quality of a Shudra predominantly, he will put himself to serve others. How does he serve others? By using his own body he will serve. That's why he is a worker class. So he uses his own body to serve others. That is Shudra. So he will support all the other three Varnas by giving his own body as service to the three Varnas. Now, if somebody has a quality, inherent quality as a Brahmana, this quality of a Shudra should already be imbued into him as a Brahmana. Now, just as in the rasas, we have the pancha rasas, the quality of dasyam permeates all other rasas. Right? Even if somebody is a madhurya rasa, he should inherently have the dasya rasa with him. In the same way, if somebody is a brahmana, he should still have the shudra rasa, the shudra quality, or the shuchadravanam quality, or the quality of compassion for all other three varnas. But how does a Brahmana express that compassion? By studying the scriptures and giving them the wisdom of the scriptures. Because a Brahmana cannot give his body in service of others, because he is disabled in that sense, because he might not have a strong body to serve like a Shudra. So he has a strong mind and an intelligence. That is what the meaning is when mukham Brahmano mukham asit. He comes from the face of the Lord, the mouth of the Lord. So he has a strong intelligence. So using his intelligence, he serves the other three Varnas through compassion. So the quality of compassion is predominant in all the three Varnas, but how one is exhibiting this compassion differs in each of the Varnas. Like the Vanijya, the Vaishya expresses this through Vanijya and Krishi, by agriculture and business. He uses his ability to do business and ability to do agriculture and expresses his compassion by growing food and increasing wealth. This is the way he shows compassion to the other three Varnas. The Kshatriya demonstrates compassion by protecting all other three Varnas. So the demonstration of compassion, Shucha Dravanam, should permeate all these three, four Varnas. But it's predominant the being a quality of a Shudra means to come into the platform of human form of life. If somebody is not Shudra, he is not a human. And then on top of it, I'm a Shudra, but I also have the quality of Krishi and Gorakshan, then I am a Vaishya. So I have Shudra plus Vaishya. So somebody has Shudra plus Brahmana, somebody has Shudra. So that is why, if you see, when the modes are discussed here, Brahmanas, it doesn't mean that Brahmana is pure in pure goodness. It just means that he's situated predominantly under mode of goodness. The Kshatriyas are residing predominantly under the mode of ignorance, but they are a mode of passion. So they are under a mix of passion and goodness. Vaishya is a mix of passion and ignorance, Shudra is ignorance. So like that, there is a mix of modes. So in the same way, the Shucha Dravanam quality permeates all the three Varnas, and they will exhibit their own compassion in their own possible qualities. Does it answer, Mataji?
Yeah, it's trying to understand. It's more the difference is based in the functionality of each caste of tough people. And I was about to ask also what makes also the difference, or
The difference is the work.
Yeah.
Quality and the work. So one has the quality of assimilating knowledge from the scriptures and teaching that to the other three varnas. That is the quality of a brahmana. But a shudra has physical ability by which he can actually give his own body in the service of others. So this is the quality and the work that he can do. So this is the difference.
The question was, what determines the type of activity, of how I express my quality of, for example, in this case, compassion.
Yeah.
So what determined that how I exhibit that quality in my activity?
What determines the quality?
Yeah, how you express this quality.
In the way how you express the compassion, as the case of a shudra, he expresses this that compassion by giving his own body, by laboring hard for the other three.
What is the factor that determines how I express that quality in my activity?
Okay, how do I know that I have to express it in that way? That's what you mean?
What determines.
Okay, so that's why Prabhupada writes, one must know what varna one comes under. And that varna, or the expression of that varna, can only be done through a spiritual master. A spiritual master will guide us to say, now, like for example, if you see Srila Prabhupada, initially he did not implement the Varnashrama system in the society. Then he said, no, we should open farms so that people can be engaged in the farming society. And then he instructed some of his disciples to say, you should go and take care of the farms. Based on their psychophysical nature, they were engaged in the respective activities.
You said psychophysical nature.
Yeah.
So that is the factor that determines how I exist.
Yes, yes.
So that physical and psycho.
Yes, exactly.
According to what you mentioned also, nature and nurture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as soon as I can be nurtured, trained, educated.
To become a Brahmana.
And become a Brahmana.
Yes. Yes.
So
if he has the quality to take up and execute the activities of a brahmana, one can be trained. That's what Prabhupada says. We can see even in one life, those qualities can be impacted and molded based on the instructions of the scriptures and the spiritual master.
So we can say that these kind of divisions are just temporary. It's not permanent in the life of a human being.
Yes, based on our psychophysical setup, as based on my nature. If someone has the notion of doing physical service alone, and someone really gets put off if you put him under deep study of the Shastras, and he never gets too much interested in Shastra, but he loves to serve in whatever way, then one can understand, okay, he just likes to serve. And that's fine, and that's also glorious, because none of them are low. So you have to understand, none of these varnas are lower or higher. They're all equal and they all serve to please the Supreme Lord. It is just that dovetailing my psychophysical nature to serve the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, why I'm asking this is because the nature of the type of education, or the education system that we have, even among the devotees, based on the training or the education that we have for the kids. So if we have that proper understanding about the psychophysical nature,
yep,
of the human being,
yep,
so the education system that we should implement should be based on that, but
yes,
not really.
Yep.
So for that, my question was based on that.
Yep.
It can be molded, it can be changed, or
yep,
even can be artificially imposed because social prejudices.
Yes, I understand. So that is why there's a community in the US, I keep forgetting the name of the community, it's a Christian community. They do not engage into any of the happenings in the current world. They have their own community, they grow their own crops, They, even their prams are made out of their own carpenters. They don't buy anything out of the shop. They make their own tools. So they have their own independent community as such to demonstrate that one can live in almost like a demonstration of a Varnashrama system. And the whole idea of Mayapur was that we demonstrate this Varnashrama system by growing up children in a proper psychophysical nature and dovetail their natures accordingly, so that they can engage in a certain particular activity and then grow mature spiritually. Yes, it is not practical all the while because of the current scenario we have, but we, at least we are heading towards it. Like if we have a proper Gurukul where the children are assessed and engaged accordingly. In fact, if you see even the modern setup, to a certain extent they do it, especially here. If you see, if a child is very well interested in studying, he can take up a profession which requires him to do deep study. But if somebody is very much labor oriented, they are sent to what are they called as here, the trades, right? So the setup is there, but the only thing is, as we have a social setup, but the direction towards the scriptures isn't there. So if we introduce that direction towards spirituality, then the setup can be molded to that setup. So it's just one thing missing in this society. And even within ISKCON, I'm too puny to actually comment about that. But I feel you're right. So there must be a system where someone can identify the psychophysical nature of a child and mold this child accordingly, so that he can actually dovetail his 10 senses and the mind accordingly, so that he can grow spiritually while he's engaged materially in this atmosphere, in this mortal world.
And I do consider the importance of properly understanding these principles of Varnashrama, not as a classification or divisions of society,
yep,
is it superiority or inferiority, it's just non-functionality,
yep. Yep.
And the importance of all of them at the same level.
Yes.
When you mention about the different limbs of the body of the Lord and the varnas based on that, it's not like that the legs are less important than the shoulder.
Correct.
Or the head, it's all are important, equally important.
Absolutely. It's almost like saying the foundation of a building is not important.
And also depends on the what perspective you see, you know, because you can have a body without legs, you can have a body without arms,
absolutely,
without brain,
absolutely,
you can't.
Yeah, but it's not fully functional.
But it's not functional.
Yeah.
So it depends on the perspective.
Correct. Yeah. Here what Krishna is talking about, that he's talking about a society which is fully functional and functional in the direction of a spiritual endeavor. That's more important. Like as we see in the modern world here, they seem to have a fully functional society, but the direction is directionless. It's moving andham tamas. They're moving to the darker side of the spiritual endeavor. So it is just not enough to be functional, but it has to be functional for the right purpose. Samasiddhir haridoshanam should be the purpose. So purpose, functionality, and purpose-driven functionality. It should be a purpose-driven functionality.
Another point that I consider also important, sorry for talking too much.
No,
is that the connection that you also stated based on the principles of religiosity, the four principles,
yeah,
in Varnashrama Dharma, sutras, so all sutras can be also characterized by these four principles properly practiced,
yeah,
like a truthfulness, compassion,
yes,
stability, cleanliness,
yeah,
being part of being sutra,
yeah,
the same level that being also for being a Brahman,
absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Yes,
it's
absolutely. In fact, as soon as we put the proper Varnashrama in place, all the four principles of dharma fall in place automatically, because one is naturally doing his activities based on his psychophysical nature, and because he's doing that, he will have all those four qualities imbued in him naturally because he's already engaged. But nowadays, because we are not applying our psychophysical nature, there is confusion. And because there is confusion, the four tenets of the dharma are lost. For example, there are people who don't have the psychophysical nature to teach, but they end up becoming teachers. They end up becoming teachers, and they end up teaching children who end up becoming confused. So it's all topsy-turvy. But if somebody is engaged properly, then hello, you are not eligible to teach, you better do a physical work or you better do business, then he can be stopped from guiding the society and things like that. So if Varnashrama is in place, then naturally the four legs, that is why it is called as the Chatushpadaha. Usually when you say Chatushpadaha, Chatushpadaha means the bull, Chatushpadaha means the four Vedas, Chatushpadaha means the four Varnas, Chatushpadaha means the four pillars of the Dharma. So all this becomes intact as soon as we say Chatushpadaha. Yeah. Does it answer, Mataji?
Sure, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there is a question from online attendee.
Yes, Prabhu.
His question is, how closely is spirituality connected to Varnashrama Dharma? So means in the absence of Varnashrama Dharma, how much will you be successful in spirituality?
Actually, Prabhupada actually writes very clearly in the purport that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no other way. Because if there is a society, someone has to produce, someone has to teach, someone has to work, and someone has to do business, someone has to administer and protect. So this is a natural classification that Krishna has. It's nothing artificial. The only difference is Krishna is saying, I have classified these based on the qualities of the jivas and not just because of someone is behind wealth. So someone wants to become a doctor because you can earn very nicely there. That is not the whole purport of the Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma is, if somebody is too much pained by compassion to treat others, he can become a doctor. In fact, in ancient times, doctors were never paid. Doctors were living like, they were called as Vaidya or a Pandita. A Vaidya lives a very simple life like a Brahmana. He is not paid. But today doctors are heavily paid. In fact, they take a vow, when they finish their medicals, they take a vow that they will treat anyone at any cost. But today, if you don't have a credit card or an insurance, a doctor will not treat you. So that is a complete misdirection of today's directionless society. But if you talk of a just society, a very good society, Varnashrama is imperative and irreplaceable for humankind, actually. And this is only for humankind who wants to move towards liberation, and this is not for someone who is not bothered about liberation or pleasing the Supreme Lord. That's what Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, yeah, Shastra Vidhi Mustritya. So it is imperative, actually.
I agree. So even Prabhupada in the beginning, it looks like more focused on promoting the teachings and the knowledge. Then later on, he moved towards farm community, some growing and do the labor job and then grow seeds and then, of course, for the rest community as well.
Absolutely. And in fact, Prabhupada always has placed Vaishnavas above these four Varnas. The reason is, a Vaishnava can actually play any of these four roles at any given point in time. So that's the beauty of Vaishnavism, that I can become a Shudra if required. If required, I'll take up that duty and execute it. Why? Because I do not see any distinction between these, because the purpose and functionality is defined. Haritsam Siddhir Haritoshanam. So that is why we see in our own community, we see temple presidents, for example. They teach, they're glorious teachers, but at the same time they administer. So they're doing two roles at the same time. It's difficult, and sometimes they're on the altar doing Brahmanical services. Yeah. So it's difficult, and sometimes going and buying flowers, and all this is a mix of all the four Varnas you can see. But this is the beauty of Vaishnavism. So as soon as the functionality and the purpose is defined, the Varnashrama becomes very clear, actually. So that's my understanding, probably.
Yeah, so when they are focused on the service of Krishna, so you do whatever is necessary at that time.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter, you might be a Brahmana, but
yes, exactly. With the catch that it has to be done under the guidance of an authority, under the instructions of the scriptures. Otherwise, it's not well done. So I can do the duties of a Brahmana or a Kshudra. For example, if I do not know how to cook for the Lord, I need to be trained, and then once the training happens, then I can execute that in that way.
Yeah, quite important. It has to be authorized.
Sorry?
It has to be authorized. Very important.
It has to be authorized. And that is what Lord Brahma is doing here, that I am authorizing you that you need to go and take up your duties. So it's a demonstration of that. It has to be instructive, and taken in that form as well, as a humble nature, and accept that instruction. So it's, somebody might think it's a hierarchical society. It's not hierarchical, but it is an instructional and guided society. I would say guided is a better word than hierarchy. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, everyone who's joined online. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanand.